little bit later, Brother McGahee, who was associate pastor, preached the same message. I preached the same points and everything, so I didn't get it from him. I told him I preached it before he did, so it's kind of interesting. Mark chapter 2, nothing new under the sun, amen. They're all the same. Mark chapter 2, verse 16 says this. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus Christ has been called the great physician. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 5. And he said, they that be whole need not a physician. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. We'll pick verse 26. Mark 5, 26. Or pick it up, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, Mark 5, 25. Verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but grew worse. And when she had heard of the Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus Christ is called the great physician. And that woman said, the Bible said she had spent a lot and tried a lot of things with different physicians. And she said, boy, if I can just get up there and just touch him, he can do the job. You know, the day we live in is kind of crazy. We live in a mad doctor, mad world. I researched this a while back and I found out, get this, 80% of all doctors in history that ever live are living today. 80% of all the doctors in history that are alive today. We got more doctors than any other generation. Oh, you know what country has more doctors than anybody else? Russia. Russia has more doctors than any other country. Doctors are everywhere. I mean, we live in a doctor mad world kind of thing. Somebody said America is the land of 6-lane highways, 1-way streets, and 4-way code tablets. Somebody said if Moses, when he had came down on the mountain, the two tablets he had brought down with him wouldn't be the Ten Commandments, but would be two tablets of Tylenol. Amen. I mean, we're just crazy about the medicine and health and doctors. You see what's going on all around the country and all around the world. You know, but the Bible says, Jesus Christ says, he that be whole need not a physician. And he's called the great physician. Doctors, you got doctors everywhere. You got doctors in the church nowadays. It's amazing. I picked up a sword of the Lord years ago, and everybody in there is a doctor. I thought, no wonder the church is so sick. We got so many doctors running around. I remember Sam Gipp one time. He came and talked to us in one of our classes. I'll never forget it. And Brother Gipp, brilliant guy, written a lot of books, real smart guy. And he said, every time he'd get out and talk to somebody, somebody would say, and he'd talk to them and they'd say, yeah, but Dr. So-and-so says. And Brother Sam says, so I went and got me one of them Dr. So-and-sos. And he said, now when somebody says, Dr. So-and-so says, he said, well, Dr. Gipp says. I went and got me one too, by the way, a few years ago. But there's doctors everywhere. I got a good friend of mine named Jim Lentz. He went home to be with the Lord. He has 3 earned doctor's degrees. One of them comes from Wheaton College. I mean, he's a brilliant guy. Best preacher I've ever heard. Wildest preacher I've ever seen in my life. But he had 3 earned doctor degrees. But he was at a place one time, you'd have to know, brother. Brother Lentz didn't take nothing off nobody. Nobody. And Brother Lentz was a wild man, brother. He let you know right up front when he got preaching, boy. I've seen him run on top of the pews and come right back up them. Hitting those pews. And Brother Lentz, he was at a place one time and had one of these big shot doctors, you know, preachers, you know. Lentz had 3 earned doctor degrees. And the guy was doctorly-ish, you know, he was walking around like they do, preachers. I don't like to get around preachers. They're creepy to me, a lot of them. But he was like one of those, he was over there, Dr. So-and-so, hello, I knew who he is, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he said, I'm Dr. So-and-so. They get that preacher voice.
Hello, bless some doctor, Dr. So-and-so. And he introduced himself, Dr. So-and-so. And Jim Lentz said, well, hello, I'm intern Jim Lentz. That guy said, intern Jim Lentz, what does that mean? He said, I'm the one that comes behind your doctors and clean up your mess. Oh, man, we live in a doctor-crazy world, don't we? You know, Brother Roloff, years ago, he finally took an honorary doctor degree, but they kept trying to give him an honorary doctor degree, Brother Roloff, and I love what he said. He said, that'd be like putting whipped cream on an onion. You know, I gave you this last week. In 1976, in Columbia, medical doctors went on strike for 52 days, and the death rate dropped 35%. In 1976, in Los Angeles, a similar doctor strike resulted in an 18% drop in mortality. As soon as the strike was over, the death rate went right back up. In Israel, in 1973, the doctors went on strike in Israel, and the death rate dropped 50%. You know, the first official doctor degree was given 12 centuries ago, you know where? In Bologna, Italy. Perfect place for a doctor, you know. Bologna, Italy. Somebody talks about doctors. They call it practicing medicine, amen. I don't want them practicing on me, amen. A lot of times they do, they just poke to see if something will come out, you know. But listen, let me just say, I'm not against doctors. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. I mean, they brought my wife back to life here a while back. My little girl over there is a type 1 diabetic. Up until 1922, if you was a type 1 diabetic, Michelle, it was 100% fatal. That's when they discovered insulin. 1922, Dr. Lister Hill. Up until that point, it was 100% fatal, and you died. It was a terrible death. I'm glad we got doctors, amen. But I want to preach this morning on a real doctor, and he's different than any other doctor, and I want to give you a little bit about Dr. Jesus. I want to say, this is just a fun message, okay? I want to say, first of all, Dr. Jesus was never too busy for a patient. You ever try to get a doctor nowadays? It's unbelievable. I remember years ago, I actually had the flu about 10 or 15 years ago, and I called Dr. Langer at the time. He was my doctor. He is a good guy. I called his office, I'll never forget it, and I said, I need to see Dr. Langer. I think I got the flu or something. I'm pretty sick. I need to get in there real quick. And she said, I can get you in there September the 23rd, like 2 weeks later. I said, excuse me. I said, I don't think you heard what I'm talking about. I'm sick. I need to see the doctor. And she said, that's the closest appointment I've got. Like one guy called the doctor. He was calling for his wife. He said, my wife needs to see the doctor. He said, she's very sick. And the lady said, it'll be 2 weeks for the doctor to see you. And he said, my wife will be dead by then. And she said, well, if she does, you need to call back and cancel the appointment. Have you ever tried to get a doctor nowadays? I mean, you try to call to get a prescription refilled. Press 1 for Espanol. Press 2 if you're a vendor. Press 3 for the pharmacy. Press 4 for Dr. Doolittle. Press 5 for Dr. Newmore. Press 5 for the business office. Press 5 if it's, press 6 if this is about a bill. Blah, blah. Listen, by the time I get to what they're talking about, I forgot what I called for. Amen. And then you get one, and you finally, you get to the guy's nurse, and he'll say, press for a Dr. Short's nurse, and you press it, and you go to her voicemail, and it says, her voicemail box is full. Ah! I need a Valium or a Xanax right there, man. I'm already sick. But I mean, you can't get a doctor nowadays. I mean, you try to get a doctor. I want to say this morning that Dr. Jesus was never too busy for a patient. I remember Dr. Langer years ago, he really tricked me. He is a real popular guy over there at Medical Center East, and he is one of my favorite doctors. He had a lot of people. And when you went, you'd have to wait 2 hours, at least. And I remember one time I was in there waiting, and I was waiting, and I waited, and they called my name, and I thought, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, 2 hours. You know what that stinker did to me? He had another waiting room. I'm telling the truth. I'm not preaching. He went and told me in another waiting room. I had to wait 2 more hours there. I mean, that was pretty cruel. You know, I know why they call them waiting rooms now, don't you? Because you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. You know why they call them patients? Because you got to have patience when you go to a doctor. Amen. We're living in a day of fast food, instant tea, 50-mile-an-hour drive-through, a nanosecond computers, and slow doctors. I had to get a prescription refilled here a couple of weeks ago, losing my insurance, so I was going to get the doctor to write it in. And my wife said, "You going to call and get them refilled?" I said, "No way. I'm going to drive all the way over to Princeton and go to his office and sit there for 2 hours. It'll be quicker than getting somebody on the cotton picking phone." And I did. I went over and see him. I want to say Dr. Jesus was never too busy. Never too busy for a patient. Turn over to John chapter 4. When you finally get to see the doctor, you forget what you went in there for. Like that man one time, you know, he went to see the doctor. He said, "Doc, I've got this terrible problem." He said, "What's it?" He said, "Doc, I just keep forgetting stuff. I can't remember anything. I'm just forgetting everything." And the doctor looked at him. He said, "Well, sir, how long have you had this problem?" And he said, "What problem?" I mean, when you get to finally in there to see the doctor, you forgot, "What am I doing here?" But Sarah, one time, Esther took her to the doctor, and she said, "Mom, what are we doing here?" It's the way I feel sometimes, amen. Oh, there in John chapter 4, there's a Samaritan woman. And the Lord Jesus Christ walks in there in John chapter 4. Let me get there. I think I could quote it for you. John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "And he must needs go through Samaria," and you don't know about that in the Bible. Samaritans were half-breed Jews. They were a cohabitation. They were a product of the Jews and the Babylonian over there. And to the Jews, they were dogs. They didn't go through Samaria. They went 100 miles around Samaria like this to get across. Nobody, no Jews went through Samaria. But the Bible says about the doctor said, "I got a patient over here in Samaria I got to go see." And Dr. Jesus said, "I must needs be go through Samaria." Look what it says. In verse 4, "Then cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, by the parcel of ground that Joseph gave to his son Joseph." Come down to verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Watch it. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." I want to say that Dr. Jesus is never too busy for a patient. There was that harlot there, that Samaritan woman, and the doctor took her case right there. She said, "What are you talking to me for? You're a Jew." He said, "I'm the doctor, amen. See that water you're bringing over there?" He said, "I could give you some water that you would never have to thirst again." And she said, "Sir, give me that water. I'll take care of it, amen." I want to say, Dr. Jesus, he was never too busy for a patient. There was that poor Samaritan woman. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5 or Matthew chapter 15. Dr. Jesus was never too busy for a patient. You know, I heard that, you've heard that illustration about the atheist that have a dial of prayer, call it up and it rings and rings and rings, nobody ever answers. Aren't you glad you got a God and you got a Dr. Jesus? It's never too busy to take your call. Aren't you glad, like that song we sing about that royal telephone? Brother, we can get him on the line any time, and no matter what he's doing, he's never too busy for a patient. Look over there in Matthew chapter 15. Here's another one. Matthew 15, verse 21. "Then Jesus went thither and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and saith, There's another one half-breeds. And cried unto him, saying, Oh, have mercy on me, O Lord. Thy son of David, my daughter, is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. They said, Get rid of this woman. We don't want anything to do with this woman. Jesus looked at her and said, I'm not sending the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him. And here's the key, brother. And she said, Lord, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, I've come here just for the house of Israel. And he said, right now, that meat, that bread's not ready for you. It's not right to take it from the children and cast it to the dogs. And look what it said, brother. I love this. Look what it said. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. There's a great song about that. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thy will. And her daughter was made whole. Jesus, Dr. Jesus was never, never too busy for a patient. I like what old Jack Wood, I heard him preach about that one time. He said he, Lord, just stepped right out of that dispensation and stepped right into another one and said, here's your loaf of bread right here, amen. He's never too busy for a patient. There's that Samaritan woman came up. There's that dying thief on the cross dying. He looked over there, Jesus Christ had been beaten and spitting and mocked. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And the doctor looked over and said, I tell you what, today you'll be with me in paradise. Dr. Jesus was never too busy for a patient. I'm glad 1975, July the 30th. An old 20-year-old dope-headed kid didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. I got down over there in Pleasant Grove, Alabama, and got on my wicked knees, Miss Frieda, and called out Jesus, brother, and right there he dropped what he was doing and met me. I'm glad he's never too busy for a patient. I'm glad Dr. Jesus is just right there on time. He's never too busy for a patient. Not only that, I want to say Dr. Jesus, he never gave up on a patient. Never gave up. There's not one instance in that Bible where Jesus Christ ever gave up on anybody. Not one. Not one. Earthly doctors, they can only do so much. We had a guy there at church up there at Liberty, Brother Bobby Cox, I preached about. He had cancer real bad, had lung cancer, and they started giving him chemo. And they come and told his family later, said, his body's eaten up. They said, there's nothing we can do. I've seen that happen many times. There's just so much an earthly doctor can do. But I want to tell you, Dr. Jesus never gave up on a patient. He never gave up on a patient. Turn over there to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. There's old Lazarus. Dr. Jesus never gave up on a patient. I like what old brother John Prescott was saying this morning. Think about that guy that witnessed to him and led him to the Lord, then came back and talked to him. Because he said, I thought I'd gone too far. He thought God had given up on me, man. He never gives up. He never gives up. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, there's Lazarus. It says over in John chapter 11, verse 21. John 11, 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus. She said, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, he will give thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection in the last day. And I love this. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He said, though he that believeth in me, though he were dead, he'll live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, brother. That's me and you right there, the rafter, by the way. And I want to tell you, Dr. Jesus never gave up on a patient. You know his patient right there? He'd been dead 4 days. Wouldn't that be good? Go in there and bring somebody dead in there to the waiting room, been dead 4 days, and prop him in there and say, okay, Doc Doolittle, what could you do about this one here? And Jesus come over there and he said, where'd you lay him? And he said, right over here. And he walks over there, you know what he does? He said, take you away the stone. And Martha runs up there and she said, Lord, hold on a second. Best don't get carried away now. Hold on, you don't understand, Lord. She said, he'd been dead for 4 days, and by this time he stinketh. What she said? She gave up. Lord said, take away that stone. And you know what happens? And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus popped out of that grave. I want to tell you, he never gave up on a patient. I like Brother Roloff. They asked Brother Roloff one time, they said, when do you give up on somebody? He said, after they've been dead for 4 days. Like Lazarus. Jesus Christ never gave up on a patient. I tell you, I've seen people before, I never dreamed in a million years they'd get saved and do anything for God. Never. My older brother Ronnie, he was a hard case, man. My whole family was, by the way. When I got saved, they kicked me out of the house, bro. They packed me up and said, you get out of here, you kook. And my older brother Ronnie, he'd been to Sanford. Went there for a while. And they really messed his head up, man. And I remember trying to witness to him. Man, he was a hard case. He is downright nasty about it, man. And I thought, man, Lord, you're going to have to take care of this one. I can't handle this one, God. And I remember, you know, sometime after that, he called me up one night, and he was crying, and he said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I got saved last night. I said, you got what? He said, I got born again last night. Glory to God. He used to come home. He lived down there in Knob Hill on Green Springs. Nice place. There were the rich people in. And he was an old drunkard back in. He'd come home, couldn't make it to the door. He passed out in the yard a few times. And there was another girl in there that was a Christian who'd been witnessing to him. See, God's got people. And she'd bring him and drag him into her apartment, sober him up, tell him about the Lord. And one day she called her preacher. I can't think of his name right now. He's a famous preacher here in town. And he come out there and led in the Lord. You say, what was that? Jesus Christ never gave up on a patient. I'd given up on him. I said there was no hope for that guy. Listen, I want to tell you, Dr. Jesus never gave up on a patient. There's one over there in the book of Mark. I love about that little girl over there in Mark chapter 5, Talitha Kumi. Remember that one? And he goes in that room and says over there, and he walks in there, and everybody's crying. He said, what are y'all crying about? What are y'all doing all this do about it? He said, the damsel, she's just sleeping, taking a nap. Hello, Dr. Jesus. The doctor said, she's okay. She's just over here taking a little nap, so. And the Bible said they began to laugh him to scorn. And he said, Talitha Kumi, which is to say, damsel arise. And the Bible said she woke up and said, go get me something to eat. She was hungry. I got a great message by a colored preacher named Wesley Grant on that, on Talitha Kumi. That's what he calls her name. He says, oh, Talitha Kumi came back to school the next day, and the principal said, girl, what was you out for yesterday? She said, I did. He said, what? She said, I did. He said, girl, you better quit talking like that. She said, I'm dead. She said, I'm dead. And this man named Jesus come along and raised me from the dead. And they have a Talitha Kumi day at school in that message. You have to listen to Wesley Graham, man. He can take anything and add it on. I want to say Dr. Jesus never, never gave up on a patient. He is never too busy for a patient. I want to say this morning, boy, I could give you a lot more. He never made a wrong diagnosis. Doctors make wrong diagnoses all the time. In fact, 30% of the cases are wrong diagnosis, by the way. 25% of practicing physicians are sued every year. 55% of physicians are sued at least once time during their career. More than 10,000 known medical conditions are impossible to diagnose. There's a lady I used to work with, and somebody mentioned something about this the other day, about another one. I worked with this black lady. I worked as a consultant for a consulting firm about 30 years ago when I moved up from Pensacola. She was pregnant. Little black girl, about 21, 22. She kept getting bigger. Doctor said she was pregnant. They threw a shower for her. Everything to do. Date came and went, so they thought they'd do a C-section. You know what? She had a big old hairball in there. That's for real. Somebody in here was telling me about something the other day. They thought somebody was pregnant and it was a tumor, Miss Debbie. I want to tell you, sometimes the doctors down here, they just don't get the right diagnosis sometimes. But Dr. Jesus never made a wrong diagnosis. Like a man went to the doctor, a lady went to the doctor one time. She was talking to the doctor. She said, Doc, my husband, one of his legs is shorter than the other. And she said, what would you do in that case? He said, I'd probably limp. That'd be $100. Dr. Jesus never made a wrong diagnosis. He knows what the problem is. You know, cancer is the most misdiagnosed disease in the world. Y'all know that? I didn't know that. I researched this. Cancer is the most misdiagnosed disease in the world. We have a good friend of ours, Kathy Chancey, that they're good friends of ours, Kathy and Robbie. They went to missionaries to Greece for many years, went to school with us down in Pensacola. And they went to Glory Land for a while there, and we was going to Glory Land many years ago, and we came in there one Sunday morning, and all the ladies were in there crying. You knew Mr. Kathy, didn't you? And they were all crying, everything, and I saw Brother Vernon Hansen there, some of them. I said, man, what's going on around here? Where's everybody crying? He said, you didn't hear? I said, what? He said, Kathy Chancey passed away, went home this morning. I said, what? We just been out with them a week or so ago, before that. Kathy was a beautiful, healthy-looking lady, man. I said, what happened? She started having back pains that night. Brother Robbie, he was pastoring a church in Pelham. And she started having bad back pains. They took her to the ER, UAB. Took her in there at 9 o'clock. About 10 o'clock, the doctors came out and asked Brother Robbie. They said, who is your doctor? Who is your wife's oncology doctor? Who's treating her for cancer? He said, my wife don't have cancer. You got the wrong person. He said, your wife is eaten up with cancer. 1 o'clock that morning, God took her home. She'd been to the doctor several times with back pain, and nobody caught it. Then she went to a chiropractor getting relief for her back, went to a doctor, they done blood tests. Nobody caught it. 9 o'clock, she went in. 1 o'clock, God took her home. What are you trying to say? I want to say Dr. Jesus never, never made a wrong diagnosis. Doctors down here, they do the best they can. You know, George Washington, first president. Everybody knows he's the first president, right? Just checking. You know how he died? You know how poor George died? They had a practice called bloodletting. When you come with a doctor, and old George Washington was like me, had a sore throat. I got a sore throat. That's all he had. And he went to the doctor with a sore throat, and he took 5 pints of his blood out in 10 hours. There's only 8 pints in your body, by the way. And he took 5 pints of blood because they believed the problem was blood, and it cut you, and it drained your blood out, and they literally bled poor George to death. They died. They make a wrong diagnosis. That's why I don't go to the doctor a whole lot. I'm like Brother Winston back here. We don't go to doctors. They make you sick. Amen. I want to say, Dr. Jesus, he never made a wrong diagnosis. He knows the problem. And he knows your problem. And he knows our problem is dirty, rotten sin's a problem. People don't like to hear that. That's why we got 55 in here tonight, and Joel Osteen's got 30,000 over in Compass. If I come in here and I say, oh, y'all are just so sweet. You're just the sweetest little thing I've ever seen. And just say, you're wonderful. You can reach your potential. Y'all just need to love each other and be sweet and hug. And you know, Victoria's Secret, you know, that's his wife. He talks about Victoria's Secret. And you know what? We could fill this thing up. You know what I'd do? I throw up. They don't want to hear the truth. He don't talk about sin. He don't talk about going to hell. He don't talk about the problem. He just covers it up and sends them out to hell is all he does. I know. I've talked to a bunch of them from that church through the years. A lot of these other churches around town, the same way. I'm going to tell you the problem. Sin will take you to hell, brethren. We saw that Revelation 21 this morning. Murder's abominable, all liars. I use that verse for people. Say, you ever told a lie? They say, of course I have. I'll take them over there. I said, how many lies does it be a liar? They said, one. I said, you're going to hell right there. That verse would do it. I want to say he never made a wrong diagnosis. Take your Bible. Turn over to John 15. People don't like to hear the truth. Jeff got me fired up today, boy. Son, how? Woo! I kept thinking, Brother John, you need to get out of the way up here and I can preach a little bit now. I mean, he had me fired up. Jeff, he was raring to go, wasn't he, Miss Dale? He ate his Wheaties this morning, didn't he? Let me get out there and preach and get that sign and take a stand. Woo! Yeah, buddy. That's what we need, brethren. We need to get the truth out. Look at John 15, verse 22. I love this. Jesus Christ talking. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now, watch this, they have no cloak for their sin. That's why they hated him. You know what people try to do? They try to cloak sin. They say, well, that's an addiction. Or they'll say, it's just a lifestyle. I was born that way. I was born a little sick and pervert. They'll say, well, it's alcoholism is a disease. Don't step on my toe. Listen, it's sin, the Bible says, and we try to cloak over it. And Jesus said, I come down here to take away that cloak from their sins. That's the first step to salvation, by the way. When you realize you're headed for hell. I like what Billy Sunday said, one of my favorite quotes. Oh, Billy Sunday, there's a few videos on the internet if you can get out there and look at them. That was a man of God. That old joker, Steve Anderson, said he's in hell today. Remember that guy gave it to you? Billy Sunday said, he'd jump over the pulpit, by the way. He had a guy one time, he was preaching, and the guy had a bullwhip. He was going to whip him with it. And Billy Sunday jumped over the pulpit, over the table, and jumped down here and took the whip away from him. He was a great athlete, you know. He is something, well, Billy Sunday was. He said, I'm against sin. He said, I'll fight it as long as I can. He said, I'll kick it as long as I can. He said, I'll hit it as long as I can. He said, I'll bite it as long as I can. He said, if I go through this thing fistless and footless and toothless, he said, I'll gum it to death to glory. He is against it, boy. People don't like to hear that no more. They don't want to hear about the problem. Jesus never made a wrong diagnosis. When he came to that woman in Samaria, he started telling her all that stuff. You know what he told her? Go and sin no more. Problem is sin. He said, why don't you go get your husband? She said, Lord, I don't have a husband. He said, you liar. You already had five, and the one you wish not yours right now, you got somebody else's husband. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. Yeah, I do too, brother. He just read her mail, didn't he? You know what he did? He dealt with that heart and that sin with that lady, brother. He knew where to go. Dr. Jesus never made a wrong diagnosis. He knows the problem. He knows the problem. We try to grow over it today, don't we? I remember years ago, told you about this old guy one time. You forgot it. I used to go across the street and pass out tracts at the mall where I worked. And it was great, man. I loved it. I'd get run out, Miss Samantha. They didn't have big signs, don't do it, you know. I didn't care. I just did it. I'd start this end and some joker security guard, he'd run and stop me. I'd go down the other end, go back in, do it again. I didn't care. I was young and stupid back in. I remember one guard got me one time and he pulled me aside and he's an older guy. He said, now son, you know you're not supposed to be doing this. You saw them signs. I said, yes sir, I saw them. But I said, I'm trying to tell them about the Lord. And he said, let me see that track. He started reading it. He said, son, you go ahead and pass these out, okay? Sure did. I was in there passing them out one day and there was one of these Jesus guys, you know the way, you remember that? Those guys that walked around in their robes and had a rope tied around and long hair and sandals, and they were far out, man. And this guy, he was walking around the mall, man. Long hair and a robe, you know, robe. That rope around the thing, and he was walking around looking. I mean, he was a space cadet. And I saw Miss Liz, and I thought, glory to God, it's going to be good. And I went up there and said, hey, Captain, let me give you some food for thought. Let me give you a little tract to read and think about. Miss Reed, he got it. He sat down on one of those benches at the mall. And man, he got that thing. He is getting into it. I walked in the mall and I came back. You know, he's sitting there and I said, man, did you read that tract? What'd you think? He said, man, that's heavy stuff, man. He started going into all this stuff, Samantha. That was when they had the Jupiter effect. Y'all remember that? And the planets were supposed to line up, and the earth was going to whoosh, go into a black hole. And all. Y'all remember all that junk? And he's talking about the Jupiter effect. He's talking about astrophysics. He's talking about all this New Age stuff. And I'm just going, yeah. Wow. And he thought he had a convert. You know, he thought, boy, I done got this guy on the line. And I'm just going, yeah, man. I said, that's amazing. He just kept going and going. And I let him go. I let him go. Kind of like fishing. You ever been fishing with a, put a minnow on that hook, Brother Dodd? And you throw that old minnow out there. And see when that bass hits it, you don't jerk it then. You let him run. And let him get that thing in his tummy real good. And then you reach back and you, wham, cross his eyes. Set the hook, don't you? You don't do it as soon as he touches it. You'll pull it out of his mouth. So that old boy, when he got going, I just gave him line, let him run. He just going through everything. After a while, he got through, and boy, he thought he had him a convert. And I said, man, that's amazing. I said, that's unbelievable, boy. I said, that's amazing. I said, but you missed something in there. I said, you skipped something I didn't hear. I said, what are you going to do about your sin? I'll never forget that guy. He looked at me, Brother Anthony, rubbing his beard. He said, that's a problem, isn't it? I said, yeah, I believe that is a problem. What are you going to do with that sin? He walking off. I don't know. It's a problem. I got to think about that a while. You know what? Dr. Jesus never made a wrong diagnosis. He is never too busy for a patient. Never made a wrong diagnosis. I want to give you one more. Two more. Quick. He never made a charge. I told you he's a different doctor now. He never made a charge. Like a man went to the doctor one time. He said, you know, I went to the doctor. And he told me, he said, 6 months, I'll have you walking. He said, you know what? He is right. I had to sell my car to pay the bills. Like one old guy said, you know, he said, I went to the doctor and I lost 30 pounds. He said, that's amazing. What kind of diet you go on? He said, I had to sell my car to pay the bill. I've been walking ever since. I want to say, Dr. Jesus, he never made a charge. Never made a charge. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not out of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Dr. Jesus never made a charge. There's a song my wife used to sing. If I had all the riches the world had to give and gave it all away, every penny to my name, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough to buy one splinter on the tree that Jesus died on. And it couldn't pay the price for one single drop of blood that was shed for my salvation. And I want to say he never made a charge. Now I'll let Miss Karen finish that one up one day. I'll give her the note. She can finish that point. And I want to say one more. I know we're getting kind of late. He never lost a patient. Never lost a patient. Everybody that ever came to Jesus Christ, he healed them or saved them. Doctors can do only so much. Like a man came to the doctor one time. And the doctor said, I got some bad news. And I've got some very bad news for you. And the guy said, well, how about give me the bad news first? And the doctor said, we ran your test, and you've only got 24 hours to live. And he said, if that's the bad news, what's the very bad news? He said, we've been trying to get in touch with you since yesterday. I want to say, Dr. Jesus never lost a patient. I love what Brother John Prescott was talking about. That old boy knows the Lord too, by the way. I love what he kept saying. He's never left me. He said, all I've been through, he never left me. He's right there the whole time. Hebrews said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's never given up on a patient. I don't care what you go through. If you're saved this morning, Jesus Christ will never give up on you. He never gave up on a patient. I mean, there's times I'd like to quit. There's times I'd like to give up. But I know the Lord never gave up on me. Hebrews chapter 7 says, wherefore he is able to save them also to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I like what somebody says. He saves them from the guttermost to the uttermost. I'm as saved as Apostle Paul. I'm as saved as Billy Sunday, Billy Graham. I'm saved to the uttermost. I've never been able to go by the best. When I go by a car, I'm not like Brother Anthony. I don't go in there, him and Brian. That thing Brian's got, there's everything in the world in that car. He's got Wi-Fi in this car. Listen, when you go to the car, it's got a step. But the step don't come up till it knows you're coming in, doesn't it? Weirdest thing I ever seen, man. That car's like an apartment inside of it. And Wi-Fi's in his truck. Weird. I never had anything like that. I used to go in there and say, what do you want? I said, I want the strip down, cheapest thing you got that runs. When I got saved, Miss Samantha, I said, I want the works this time, amen. And when he saved me, brother, he saved me to the uttermost, and he gave me everything that he gave Apostle Paul. I got the deluxe model. He never gave up on a patient, Dr. Jesus. He never lost a patient. We've seen so many people saved in our ministry. It's unbelievable. We had an old girl. I wish I could find that girl. Been quite a few years ago. Sonia, you remember Sonia? She was a Satanist, this old girl. She was in UAB's mental hospital. I used to go to UAB and I had some little cards made up. And all it said was, call 680-9206. There was our dial. Didn't say nothing on it. Didn't say a message. It said, call 680-9206. And I'd go stick them all over the bulletin boards of UAB. All in her campus. And this girl was in the hospital, the mental institute. And a nurse came into her one night. I don't know who it was. A nurse came into her and gave her our card and said, you need to call this man right here. He'll help you. She got on the phone, called me. She'd been telling me all this stuff. I mean, real demonic stuff happening to her. And I told her, I said, your problem's not mental. It's spiritual and you need to get saved. And she said, thank God. She said, I've been telling everybody this thing's real and spiritual. She got involved with a satanic coven here in town, and she prayed and asked the devil to give her everything he could, the devil to possess her. And she said, after that, I mean, she had stuff that scared you to death if I told you about it. That old girl got saved. She used to stand outside bars with a poster board and hold up Bible verses by herself. White girl. I remember at night I talked to her at UAB and led her to the Lord over the phone. She said, you're going to be preaching? I said, I'll be at Jimmy Hale Mission tonight. My wife remembers that. That was the old place. It's all about 90% black guys. We walked in there that night, sitting right smack dab in the middle of that place was this little white girl sitting there. Sonia. I mean, brother, she got saved. She is a ball of fire. I've seen God save homosexuals. I've seen him call Satan. I've seen him save it all, brother. I'm going to tell you, he never lost a patient. He never lost a patient. Never too busy for one. Never made a wrong diagnosis. He knows what he's doing. Never refused a patient. Never lost a case. I love those verses. Whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever will, let him come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. What a wonderful thing. I was preaching down in Mobile years ago. Down when I was in Bible school, we go down there and preach on the streets. It was great, man. And it had a bus stopped out there. And it was a round, big old round thing, bigger than this building, big old round, where they had chairs, and it was round and had chairs out there where they sit for the bus to drive up there. And it was pretty nice, had a roof on and everything. And there'd be about 100 people there waiting for the bus. And back in, I'd set me up a little board and draw to them like Brother Ruckman used to do. And I'd get about 10 preacher boys with me. We'd go out there, and I had me a little portable pulpit, and I'd set my board up there, and I'd draw them a picture over there, and I had to be about 100 people sitting there, man, these black people. And these old black sisters there, they'd pull their hankers out. Preach it, white boy. You tell them, white boy. Preach it, white boy. About 30 minutes. Every 30 minutes, Miss Samantha, they'd get on a bus. Another crew would get there. I'd start me another message. And those preacher boys, they'd all be running around leading the Lord. Oh, it was good, man. It was a preacher's dream, man. I remember one day I'd been out there preaching to them, talking to them. We had walked around the park here in Mobile. And I was walking around. There's a black man there. And he's sitting there on a bench. Had a hat on, probably in his 30s. Had a hat on, had his hat down. Sitting there. And park's a great place to go to witness somebody, because they're either happy or they're troubled. That's why they go. And that guy was sitting there, and I could tell something was bothering him. And here I was. I had my little tie on, you know. I've been out there preaching. I look like, you know, a little old guy that come out of Sunday school. And I sit down beside him. I said, "What's going on, man?" "Oh, man, I don't know." He began to open up to me a little bit. And he had a gun. Showed me a gun, pulled out of his pocket. Said he's fixing to go kill himself. Going to commit suicide. And I said, "Oh, Lord, give me something to tell this guy." And I got to talk to him. I said, "You know something?" I said, "You sound just like somebody else I once knew." He was crying. He said, he was telling me his girlfriend thought he was crazy. He'd been on drugs. He was trying to commit him and all this stuff. And he said, "I'm just going to go. I'm going to end it. I'm tired of it." And I said, "Man, you sound like somebody I knew one time." And he said, "Who's that?" "Me." I said, "Me?" He looked at that. He said, "You? You?" I said, "Yep. I was in the same boat," and I was. He said, "What happened?" That's what I told him. I said, "I went to the doctor." He said, "You went to the doctor?" I said, "Yeah, I went to the doctor, and he took care of me and healed me up, straightened me out." He said, "I don't have any money. I don't have any insurance. I can't see the doctor." I said, "This doctor don't need money or insurance." He said, "You think he'll take me in? He'd help me?" I said, "This doctor never refused a patient." I said, "He took every one of them in." He said, "You think I could see him?" I said, "He'll see you right here and right now if you want to know him." I said, "You know who he is?" I said, "His name is Dr. Jesus." He began to laugh. Got down there by the old bench, Miss Samantha, me and him. We got down there, the old boy, and got down there, and he cried and prayed his heart. I mean, he was down there for 15 minutes crying out to God. Got up, and he said, "Woo! Woo! Woo! I feel good! Woo! I've never felt this good before." He said, "Woo! I will tell you, I feel good." He started preaching that day right then on the spot. He said, "There's about 10 of us." He said, "Y'all going to be here a while?" I said, "We're going to be here a little bit longer preaching." He said, "I'm going to get my girlfriend. I'm going to bring her back. I want you to tell her what you told me." Amen. And he brought her back. And she is saved, but backslidden. And a bunch of me and preachers, and preacher boys, and him and his girlfriend, we got down to that park and prayed. And boy, I tell you, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. He never lost a patient. There's that old boy. I have no doubt in my mind, if God wouldn't have put me there that morning, he'd have blew his brains out and went to hell. No doubt in my mind. And I have no doubt in my mind today that that old boy is serving God. I don't know where he's at, but I know he got a dose of Jesus Christ. And brother, you get a hold of him, you runt. You're done. Dr. Jesus, he never lost a patient. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our